Hi, and welcome to Celebrating Small Family Businesses. I'm John Cooter.
And I'm Connie Cooter.
And today we are celebrating Waypoint Property Inspection, and we've got four owners on with us, so this is going to be exciting. So I'm going to start with I can't do introductions because this is going to wind up being, in terms of video, it's going to be speaker view mostly, I think. So I wanted to start with Bob. Bob, what was the origin story of your business? How did you guys decide to do Waypoint?
Sure. First of all, I want to thank you, John and Connie, for having us on today. It's real exciting to be able to share our story. Basically, the journey for Waypoint began actually 19 years ago this month. In 2005. And really the impetus of getting started was a result of my making a career change. I was working for a large financial company at the time. And I know we're all too young on this call, but back in the early 2000s, there was a lot of offshoring going on where a lot of the work, which was once domestically being taken care of, was being sent overseas. And the company I worked for actually went through that. And, you know, really, I totally understand the reasoning. It's all about making shareholders happy, not necessarily customers. When it comes to customer service, it's the bottom line at the end of the day. So I was given a choice, actually trained a lot of our replacements in the Philippines and India at the time. And then I was given a choice to stay with the company and relocate to their headquarters up in Virginia, since they were downsizing in the U.S. And since over the previous few years, I had moved my family first from California to Texas and then from Texas to Florida. And then in the ensuing couple of years after that, Eddie and his family joined us along with my wife. And my wife and Eddie's wife are sisters, and they their parents moved from California. So we were all together. And if I left and moved my family to Richmond, I probably wouldn't have moved the family. I would have gone it as a single man. So I didn't want to do that. So actually, the company I worked with was very good to me, which afforded me to take a deep look inside and decide, after having conversations with my wife, Jeanette, and Austin, who was around 10 at the time and a man of wisdom at 10, what was my next step going to be? And a couple of things that led me to starting Waypoint was taking a look inside my whole life. What did I, A, enjoy doing, and B, what I felt I did well? And both kind of came along the line of developing people and educating them. And so with some soul searching, some research, I came upon home inspection, which again, 19 years ago, and still is a relatively new industry. And I did a lot of studying, a lot of understanding, a lot of research, and decided to go into home inspection because the last thing I wanted to do was shake the hands of 500 people as I was laying them off, which I happened to do in 2005. I did follow them out the door. I wanted to be my own boss. So if I were to get fired, it was going to be me firing me. But really start ground up as an entrepreneur. And because of that education and teaching people about their homes and satisfying the partners that we work with, I truly enjoyed that. And that's why I started Waypoint back in 2005. And basically was a quote-unquote one-man shop from 2005 until 2013. Eddie did help me along the way. I won't steal his thunder that he'll probably talk about his story with Waypoint, but joined me full-time in 2014. Austin joined us. Actually, Eddie joined in 2013. Correct myself. Austin joined part-time while he was going to college in 2014, and then in 2016 when he graduated, he joined the company full-time. But, you know, in a nutshell, from a one-man shop back in 2005 to today where we have over 30 domestic employees and five global team members who support us from overseas, it's been a fun ride. Basically, that is the in a nutshell, backstory of Waypoint Property Inspection.
Thank you.
Yeah, and congratulations on almost being 20 years in the business. As we know, small businesses collapse pretty quickly. But thank you for being smart enough to do the homework before.
Real quick, I remember going to school for home inspection to get my certification at the time. We were not a licensed profession in Florida until 2010. I remember the instructor standing in front of the class, and there was probably about 30 of us, and basically saying, all but two of you will not be in business 3 years from now. So I guess there's somebody else out there, but I'm very happy to say that after 2 years and almost 20 years that we are still in business.
That's wonderful, wonderful. Well, since you kind of teed it up for us, Eddie, do you want to jump in and talk about how your arc with the business came to be? And
I won't mind sharing that, but then we got to get to Mark as to why he created Waypoint East at the time. But again, like Bob had said, I joined him part-time around 2007 because he was very busy as a one-man shop. And then I joined him mainly on the weekends just to help him out and pretty much for a burger and a beer. And then in 2007, 2008, where we had a reduction in force as well, but I was assigned to a different area. So then I didn't want to jump in at that time. And then the market wasn't doing as well during that time frame as well on the home real estate section. I was in a major banking company as well in a call center and got moved to a different position. So I stayed there until 2013, where they were again resizing and decided to move out of the state. It was an international banking company that decided to leave the U.S. market. And then at that time, that's when I decided that I'm going to join Bob full time because his business warranted. And one of the biggest things when I joined Bob, and we say this all the time, is that I didn't want to, rob Peter to pay Paul. I didn't want to take from his pocket to move money into my pocket. I wanted to make sure there was enough money out there for both of our pockets to flourish at that time. And in 2013, that's when I made my move. I got the license. And since then, one of the biggest goals that we had as joining up when we went to a conference, we both looked at each other and said, we don't want to be just a two-man operation. We want to be a multi-inspector firm. And since then, we've laid the tracks towards that success. So I've been very appreciative of that. And we all have our own assignments and within the family business. And we all try to strive to work at our strengths and build the company based on our strengths. So thanks for asking, John and Connie.
That's fabulous.
You're welcome. And you just hit on two of our primary drivers is the focus on strengths. And knowing, having clear roles and everybody working in their role. So Mark, you're next.
Tell us your story.
You expanded, you started, I hear East. Well, tell me about East.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you, Connie. It's East because obviously Bob, Austin, and Eddie are located in Tampa. I'm actually located in Palm Beach County. To give you a little bit more backstory prior to business, this year, Bob and I are friends 50 years.
Wow.
Oh, cool. Okay, well, there's effectively another family connection.
Well, and it's funny you say that because when we announced the merger of the two companies, we announced it as a merger of families.
Good.
So basically in 2005, I moved to South Florida from New Jersey. My wife and I both having fairly good corporate jobs. And I was getting phone calls from Bob. We were talking almost every day, and he was saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I want to look at this. I want to look at a UPS store. And then he got into home inspection. And once he got started, he said to me, oh, you should get into this. And I said, I'm in the air more than I'm on the ground with my corporate job. I don't have time. So then in June of 2006, I went over and actually stayed at Bob's house and took the same class he had taken, figuring I'm going to start a small part-time business and figure helps to bring a little bit more to the family. And it was working fine. And then in 2008, just like Bob and Eddie, I went through a corporate downsizing. I worked for a different bank, but it was on the insurance side of the business. And obviously at that point, 2008 was the big collapse of the market. And about a year later, my wife, working for a fourth corporate institution, lost her corporate job. So we kind of reinvented ourselves. I went full time and started building it. And it just began to roll. And in, I guess it was about the same time, around 2013, I hired my first inspector on the East Coast to help. And we started growing. And both sides blossomed very well. We bounced things off of each other. We shared marketing ideas, logos, all the ways of operating the business, but kept them corporately separate. And then after Austin came in, and he'll laugh about this, we used to go to our conferences, and he used to say to me, "I want to buy your company." And I'd say, "You can't afford me." And he'd say, "How do you know that?" I said, "Because I know your father." So finally we decided about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, to perform the merger of the two companies. And here we are today.
Very cool. Very cool. So Austin, what, so you're second generation, and I want to start out with that for you. So what do you love most about working in the family business?
I think it's a combination of the flexibility that it provides versus a standard job or going the corporate route, right? As Bob, Eddie, and Mark have all gone down. It's the ease of communication, in a sense, when it comes to making decisions, when it comes to figuring out which direction we're going to go. And I think it's just the feeling of we're all working together to build something that not only benefits all of us as a family, but also benefits the employees and their families as well. So I think it's those three main things, I would say, all kind of come together in perfect unison of what makes it a great thing to do, right? Working with family.
I love that you said ease of communication. Mm-hmm. That's, I want to say that's somewhat uncommon in family businesses, that it'd be easy, because the family dynamics tend to get in the way. So kudos for, you know, mm-hmm. Making that work.
Yeah, one of the things we follow pretty closely is the EOS model with Traction. And through that model, they basically put out a very clear guideline that when it comes to meetings, everything needs to be fully transparent from the communication standpoint, right? So when the four of us get together in a meeting, if you leave that meeting feeling like things were left unsaid or things weren't brought up that should have been brought up, and we're not perfect at it, right? We'll get out of the meeting and realize we should have spent more time on this topic and we need to do a better job next time. But I think we do a really good job with that transparency because we follow a model that basically stipulates that has to be part of how we run the organization and run our meetings.
Nice. So for our listeners, I'm just going to correct me if I miss anything, but the EOS stands for Entrepreneurial Operating System, and Traction, yep. It was created by, and Traction is a book written by the creator. I think it's Gino Wickman, is it?
Yep, that's correct.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, he's a big force in the small business world, I think. And yeah, having that system that's strong. There's a lot of businesses need to know more about that. Read Traction. I think it's a free download too. I don't know. But, okay, so I'm going to jump to Bob. So you're the dad in the business. You've got your son in the business as well as your brother-in-law.
And
your best friend. Yeah. What works for you? What do you love about the family aspect?
I think the dynamic works because, like we had mentioned before, I don't want to call it all about strengths and weaknesses, John, or strengths and areas of opportunity. I also want to call it what we're passionate about, what each of us does well, what we enjoy doing, and what we're passionate about. And it's actually you'll get four different answers. Now, we do have some overlap. Like you had mentioned, our family dynamic, it's not all peaches and cream. But, you know, utilizing not only the traction system, but the trust, and I'll even say it, the love we have amongst each other. We know that even through the challenging times, we'll get through it. But we have our, as we call it, we have our lanes. Sometimes our lanes are, sometimes our highways are 8 lanes wide. Sometimes they're 2 lanes wide. As the company matured, they have changed. I remember, obviously, first starting out, you know, I was a chief bottle washer, the janitor, everything, taking orders. And then as we grew up and Eddie joined, I still remember, and he talks about it, he was a driver and I was taking the orders over the phone, and I was a driver and he was following up with, you know, so you do what you have to do. And as you add on the resources, and in our case, we were lucky to have families and family and dear friends, you develop partly naturally. And the other way is just where you feel you have the most strength to give. And that's really what's defined us, especially over the last year plus since we had the merger, because, you know, we had the three of us that were still, you know, Austin was maturing into his position. Eddie and I were kind of rooted in ours, knowing we needed to change somewhat and have some flexibility, and finding our way. I remember way back in the beginning, and Eddie has an HR background from the corporate world. He was working the HR purpose of the company, and today I am. And it's, you know, it's, I found, you know, with the added resources that I didn't have to do what I did before, whether I liked it or not. And B, I was able to steer myself into that highway, multiple lane highway of things that I do enjoy doing. And a lot of what I enjoy doing now as the company's matured and it's, you know, 19 years old, is I like to do more of the behind the scenes and the support the scenes. I write educational classes. We all teach them. I actually was co-working for a few years where I was the lead instructor for a company that was teaching home inspections on a national basis. So I think that's the big thing is, you know, we're good at things. We're able to streamline them into a purely definable purpose. There's a little bit of overlap, but we understand that we can rely on each other and work with each other based upon our strengths and really what our highway is right now. So that's really how I feel about it. And it could change tomorrow. If it does, it will change tomorrow. It won't change drastically, but there'll be another layer that's added tomorrow, and we'll sit down and we'll work it out and you know, assign the responsibilities around it and get it done.
Okay, wow, there's a lot there to unpack. More than we've got time for. We'd have to do another call. I love what, you know, you said earlier, you talked about how you really like to develop people, that's, you know, part of your passion. And so you brought out the idea of strengths, but not strengths just on the fact that I'm good at this or, you know, I've got this background, but also passion for doing that. And you know, we've got a favorite tool that we use in our work that's a book by a lady named Kristen Sherry called UMAP, YOUMAP. And she starts with Clifton's strengths as one of the pillars, but then it takes you through finding out all your different skills, and she divides skills into different categories. And the top category is the skills that you're, things that you're good at, but they also energize you when you do them. Because we've all got things that we can do and we're good at them, but they drain us, right? And then there's others that energize us. And so I hear you talking about you guys finding your, you know, marrying your strengths with those skills that energize you and then making that your lane, even if that's not where you started. Is that accurate?
Yep. You said it a lot more succinct than I did.
Well, thanks.
And the book you mentioned, UMAP, I have heard of that, but I can tell you, and I know we don't have the time today, but we've done many exercises and others have written or put together programs that are similar to that. And that's something that we relish and we work on too, is we don't sit on our laurels and continue to do what we do. We look for different ways that we can either do it better individually or better collectively, using the resources, like you mentioned with the book UMAP.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and that was another thing I wanted to call out from and emphasize what you were saying was, as the company has grown, you've been each flexible to look at what you're doing, and rather than saying, no, this is my job, I'm going to keep doing this, is where, you know, how can you shift for the, I'm assuming, for the benefit of the company in the whole, and, you know, moving into different areas. And I think that's probably a major key to your success. Would you agree?
Yes.
So, Mark, you were your own company from, I want to say, in the 2000 or mid-2000s until you just merged in a couple of years ago. Were you guys working very closely together in terms of communication because of the friendship through those years?
It's funny you say that. There's not a day in the past 19 years that Bob and I haven't spoken 5 or 6 or 7 times in a day. And when we started the companies, or after I started mine, it was a constant. And it was, oh my God, I just saw this, and send a picture over, what is it? Or, and through the years, we've always talked, we've always shared the secret sauce, or however you'd like to describe it, as, hey, I just did this, and I think it's going to work. And we grew. Right, I mean, we used to track. I was a year behind their organization and growing kind of at the same pace a year later. So, yeah, the communication has always been there. I mean, again, it's family. If you have to pick up the phone at 8 o'clock at night, you know somebody's going to answer. We've all gone through our family challenges, our family health issues, things like that. And you have more people to lean on. So from that standpoint, from a business, we have even more people to lean on. Oh, we have multiple layers of people to lean on. So the communication is always there, always will be there.
Yeah.
You guys are a real blueprint for a successful business.
Yeah.
Family business. This is just amazing.
Really glad we're recording this. I sent you guys a list of questions, and I've got one that has come to mind that isn't on the list. So if it's fair game, cool. Since three of you came from a corporate background, you've also all been through a downsizing. I was a very small riff, but I had a short corporate career and went through that. That's a painful process. It was for me. But also, my question really isn't about that. My question is about, have you been able, because of your corporate background, to pull some of the strengths, the processes, or just the corporate way of doing things into your business and make it work?
Was that geared towards anybody or just everybody?
Yeah, I mean, well, whoever comes up with the first idea.
Well, Eddie had the HR background, right?
Yeah.
Since I spoke up first, I guess I'll be on the hook for a couple of minutes on this.
Okay.
You know, one of the biggest things, especially being in the corporate background, is, you know, I don't take that for granted. That was a lot of learning. When I went through college, I always wanted to be back in the day in college, it was called personnel. Right now I'm really dating myself, right? And then it changed over to human resources. But I always loved to be in personnel. When I got into personnel, I said to myself, why am I here? You know, because I got to see a lot of the other sides of it, whether it's a corrective action, a termination. I love the hiring side. And that's one thing that I really thrived on, John and Connie, was the hiring side. And that's one of the things that I tried to blossom towards. And I did learn the training side of it well, whether it was doing that extra degrees in 212 degrees or going into the Discovering Your Strengths with Don Clifton. And then also the biggest one that impacted me the most going through my corporate career was Stephen Covey and his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, right? Where we at the beginning, especially being owners of the company, have to be proactive to try and see where we're at in the market and see where we're at as a home inspection business as to where the others are in the market. We have researchers out there helping us look at other businesses as well, whether they're single man, multi-man shop. We're members of a lot of associations We're highly regarded in that, and we pride ourselves on that. Because one of the things that we really do, John and Connie, is we really follow habit number 7 of the higher habits, which is sharpen the saw. There's never a time where we rest on the laurels. We have to figure out what's next, what's going to be coming up next. And for us, you know, we're always looking into the business as to what can we do and what's our strengths. And the biggest thing that we do is, and I think everybody will tell you this, is passion, right? You can't teach somebody passion. You either got to have it in the business or you don't. If you don't have passion in the business, you're probably going to fail in that business. You probably don't want it, but you don't care about the business. But that's one of the biggest things that we do, is we make sure we're proactive. Austin, with all of his, with all the books that are in his background that, again, he probably read last weekend, you know, his Christmas list is about 50 books, and he reads them. I try to listen to them because when I read, I fall asleep. But nonetheless, when it comes down to these habits of what we do, I can guarantee you, when you ask each one of us separately, we'll talk about the passion that we have. For me, it's the passion of becoming a multi-inspector firm and having all these families rely on us and then having them grow on their own. Because a lot of our success is their success because of the fact that we listen to them and the team members as to, hey, maybe we should start trying to do this or we should start trying to do that. Because again, some of the best minds are the people that are on your team because they're doing the job every day. So hopefully that was my 2-minute spurt on it. And if anybody else wants to chime in, I welcome that.
Of course. I'd like to chime in because it's a little bit different. I would venture to place a bet that if I didn't have corporate experience, Waypoint wouldn't be here today. Because the foundation of what I learned and what I built upon, it wasn't just with the financial services company that I worked for. I mean, I have a retail background, and it goes back to, you know, I really when I was doing soul searching and decided on home inspection, it went back to when I was the president of the key club in high school, or the captain of my soccer team when I was in elementary school, or when I was an RA in college. And what was I doing? I was overseeing, quote unquote, the operations and I would say keeping people in line or developing people, helping them mature. But I don't think Waypoint would be around if I didn't have corporate experience. And I see that a lot in today's new inspectors. Eddie mentioned we are members of associations. We are looked at based upon our success, based upon our experience. I see a lot of new inspectors coming into the industry. They take a course, they pass a test, and their next step is, what do I do now? They don't know what to do, and they stumble upon it, and they become one-man shops until they have to close because they don't know how to run a business. Or, so, you know, I learned to run a business through my corporate experience. Through my work experience, I was able to get a master's in project management. So I'm very, very analytical. I'm very anal. I don't want to say to a fault, but I want to make sure that at least 90% of the plan is done before we initiate it. And I have Mark and Eddie and even Austin at times saying 80% is good enough. Let's get there and get it done. But the other thing, aside from the operations and the project management, I believe in replacing yourself, and did that a lot prior to starting Waypoint. You know, my job going in was to find somebody to replace me. It gives me opportunities to move up, and it gives them an opportunity to grow. And if you think back upon the last 19 years when I was wearing all the hats to run the company, from operations to, you know, administration to customer service to inspecting, you know, what did I have to do is I had to replace myself a little at a time. And even recently, in doing the merge and all that, there are different aspects of the job that we had to sit down and I had to replace myself. So I would say I'll end it with the best thing that I learned through my corporate experience and ongoing with my Waypoint experience is to get out of my own way and let somebody else step in and do it and probably do it better.
Wow.
Nice. two hard acts to follow, Mark. You want to try, or you think that's good?
Yeah, they've always been hard acts to follow. My corporate life wasn't at the management level they were at. I mean, I was working for an insurance broker. I mean, I ran my own department. But it was, I bring the insurance knowledge and wherewithal with that to the industry, because obviously in the state of Florida, insurance is a four-letter word. And we do a lot of talking about not only our coverages, but when we're talking with clients and talking about with realtors about what they need and what they don't need, that's where a lot of my knowledge comes in, having done that for 27 years. So it's a little bit different because I did not have the management skills that they had. And to that point, the three of them, including Austin, have actually taught me a lot about management and about managing people and how to say things. My wife happened to be a high-level manager, and she's the same way. She's like, you can't say that to them. And Bob's
you
like,
can say it. You just can't like, say it that way.
After he said it. So it's been a big change. And it was one of the funniest stories I can remember when Bob and I both started switching over to having somebody answer our phones. We were both panicking because our cell phones weren't ringing, but it was ringing somewhere else. And we didn't realize you didn't have to be in an attic and answer a phone or be on a roof and answer a phone. Somebody else is actually very good at it, and they did better than we did. So
it was that awareness of not being the one-man shop anymore and making that transition in your head as well as in the business.
Correct. And then, as Bob referenced, we have five people in the Philippines who answer our phones. So the globe has gotten very tiny.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. All right. Thank you, guys. Austin, tell me about your experience in the business. Since did you work in corporate outside the business before you joined the business? And otherwise, just what is your place in the business? What do you do?
Yeah, so this was pretty much my first, I would consider, professional career. Started part-time in college, as Bob had mentioned. Before working for Waypoint, I was working at Big Lots. So had a nice retail job where I was unloading the trucks or stocking the shelves or, you know, your first starter job, essentially. And right around the time that I joined Waypoint was when there was a noticeable growth in the amount of inspections that were coming in. And one of the things within our business is there's a balance between marketing and inspectors, right? Every business is like that, but balance between bringing in business and having people that can fulfill the jobs. And it was starting to snowball at that point where there was a need now for more marketing. So I was one of the ones on the marketing team to go out and meet with realtors and give presentations, promote the business, help build the brand, and helped build up a marketing team there. Did that for a couple of years. Then my role shifted to focus on the office. So as Mark mentioned, you know, earlier on in the business, there were other people answering the phones, outside call centers that we had basically contracted. And then we made a decision, well, let's bring the calls in-house. Let's hire local people and start answering the phones ourselves. And I was one of the first ones on the phones booking inspections. So I was doing all the scheduling. I was answering the questions, sitting in the office, basically managing the schedule of the inspectors. And then help build up the office team. And then from there, my focus shifted more on general operations in the company. So learning more about the financials, learning about the numbers, learning about how the business runs and how it needs to grow. Really focusing on systems. Our website back then was, we can say like a late 1990s website. And we were a much bigger and mature company at that point. So it was time for an upgrade. So I started diving a lot into our systems. Were we using the best phone system, the best email provider, the best website, the best scheduling platform? And that became a lot of my focus was on efficiency and how do we build out tools that help support the company and its growth. And then to where I am now, CEO of the company, focusing more on strategy, focusing on long-term opportunity, focusing a lot on what's going on in the industry. We had so much business during COVID, which we were very fortunate because of all the people that were moving to Florida. Whereas a lot of the colleagues we know in the industry in northern states were losing so much business, either because their shutdowns were much more severe or people were just leaving those areas. So we had a huge bump during COVID. Last year, that bump started to go away for almost every region that experienced a bump in business. And so all the growth we had experienced was now sort of turning down, right? And we had a tough few months that we, you know, were really strategizing around how are we going to make it through this downturn to where things pick back up again without having to downsize the team, without having to make major cuts in different parts of the business. So that's where a lot of my focus was and our focus was, is leading those kinds of conversations while also looking forward as to what is coming so that we can be properly positioned for that. So I don't have any corporate background. I've actually never done a home inspection myself. I've learned a lot through all the stuff I've done with marketing, through answering the phones, talking to the inspectors, but I am not a licensed inspector, just focus more on the business side of things. But a lot of what I spend my time on as well is with that networking with colleagues in the industry. So as Bob, Eddie, and Mark have mentioned, we're part of associations. We're also part of coaching groups that are nationwide for home inspection business owners. So every quarter we get together. Yeah, we get together and we talk about what's the state of our business. What are you doing that's working? What do you need help with? And given the size of our company, we're sitting in a room with companies that are bringing in 15 million, 20 million in revenue a year, which is a lot bigger than us, but people that are willing to help us and willing to take our ideas and implement it in their business. And then about 2 years ago, I also joined Vistage, which is a national CEO coaching organization. They have more local chapters. So where I live is a Vistage chapter that I meet with on a monthly basis. And that's business owners in all industries. So monthly, I'm getting together with industry leaders that are not at all related to home inspections, but are still bringing a perspective that can get us out of our bubble to a degree and help bring in new, fresh ideas as to how we can innovate. So that's kind of where I started, just, you know, part-time marketing, marketing ourselves to real estate agents. And where I am today is both helping lead strategy while also really taking in as much information as I can from colleagues, both within and outside the industry, to make sure that we're continuing to go forward successfully.
Nice, nice. Well, it sounds like you've worked in pretty much every department of the business except the field inspection. So kudos to that. And I love that you talked about, you brought out the idea of the collaboration with peers that mm-hmm. are not competitors. I had a cousin and her husband, they were second generation in a family auto repair business, and they attributed a great deal of their continuity and their growth and success to being part of a coaching organization that was specific to their industry. But they would, you know, all of the people that they met with on a regular basis were not local competitors. So there was no concern about, you know, bringing it, putting everything on the table and asking for help or listening to getting ideas. And so I love that you're doing that in two different ways. That's awesome.
Yeah, and if I can just add real quick to that, John. So it's a little bit unique for our coaching group because we do actually have competitors in the room. So we have a company that's about 30 minutes south of us. We have a company that's based in Orlando that are both really big players in our industry. And I think there's a couple things at play. It's a level of trust that there's enough business out there that we can all collectively still work together, even if we're in each other's backyards, and it helps elevate the industry as a whole, mm-hmm. right? But I think it's also, you get to a certain level in the business to where you realize, one, there's no real golden secret that you're doing that I'm not doing. And even if there is, just because it's working for you doesn't mean I'm going to take it and it's going to work for me, right? Because it works different for everybody. But it's just, we were definitely in that mindset when we were a smaller company, is we got to keep everything close to the chest. We can't tell anybody anything because we're vulnerable. We, you know, we can be wiped out in an instant. And just when you reach a certain size, you realize that that's just not, it's not going to happen. And it's not how things are working, at least in our industry. So yeah, all those meetings that I go to, we have big competitors in our markets that are in there, and we all openly share with each other and just try and make sure we're all moving forward successfully.
I love hearing that. Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned size. One of my tenets is that, you know, the growth of the owner is what restricts the growth of the business, and the business grows in proportion to the owner's mm-hmm. personal growth. And so, you know, I'm hearing, even though you're talking about the business growing, I'm also hearing, and of course, mm-hmm. because of what Bob has said about training people and so forth, and Eddie, that, you know, the developing people and that sense of interest in personal growth has led to mm-hmm. an awareness of what you just said. There's plenty for everybody. It's a matter of how you conduct your business rather than who you're competing against.
Yeah, there was a tipping point, I would say, within the last couple of years with our leadership team where they went from being followers to leaders. We have a great leadership team, but for the longest time they would wait for us to guide them and wait for us to give them instructions. And I'd say it was a challenge because we knew they had the talent and we knew they had the energy and I would say we knew they had the passion. It was just, again, you're dealing with four owners, not just one. So, you want to make sure you keep mom, dad, and stepmom and stepdad happy or however it is. But it was a tipping point. It was individual points for our leaders, but now it's again, like I said, I'm going to get out of their way. I'm here to guide them. I'm here to nudge them. But I think we all feel that way with our leadership team for the most part, that they can lead the company. We always, we sit in a room and told them, we all want to go on a, all the owners want to go on a 3 month cruise. Are you going to run the business for us? We're getting to the point where we could literally go on a 3 month cruise and with little input, probably feel confident that, the company will at least be here when we come back. But is that
Wow.
tipping point, is to get them the confidence that they can make the decisions without always having to run things by us. When I worked for the financial company, I had a boss who told me, I'm going to let you do whatever you want as long as it's legal and it doesn't get me in trouble. And that I learned a lot from that is, you do what you have to do to run the business and you do have your guidelines and you have to keep things legal. But, here's the ball, take it and run with it. And I think we have a good team in place that can do that.
So that's a wonderful place to put a pin. You mentioned tipping point. So can you identify that more specifically? What drove that tip? What pushed them over that tipping point?
Andy, I'm going to ask, I'm going to, because you work more directly with them, but I'm going to, and like I said, it wasn't the same time and place for everybody. Each person has, has a different point. But Eddie works within his role. He works more closely with our leadership team. But, you could probably say that better than I could.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. And it's a very good question you have, John, because when is, like Bob had said, when do you get out of your own way? And that's the biggest thing is, when do you think you're ready? It's like your kids growing up, should we really trust them driving the car? Because now driving a car is a lot big difference, right? Just like a book that I read that that hold near and dear to me is Monday Morning Leadership, where they say there's a big difference between being a driver and being a passenger. When you become that driver, you have a lot of responsibilities, to which is where I challenge the leadership team is, now that you're a leader, how do you differentiate? Because you can no longer do some of the things you were doing when you were a passenger, right? You can't check your cell phone. You can't talk to the people in the back by turning your head. You got to keep your eye focused on the road. So how do you keep that, and how do you keep that in balance? But the main thing for me is to when I felt when they you got to make sure they're ready to blossom, and you got to ask them where they're at. And that's like one of the things that Bob had mentioned earlier before in regards to coaching up and then find your replacement. I was trained to do that as well in the corporate world, right? Every time wherever you go, you got to find your replacement, because if you're being replaced, that means somebody's growing. That means you're growing somewhere else, right? Where Austin came in from marketing, and he was our replacement as a CEO. You may think that, hey, you know what? He's young. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's not done an inspection. So how does he know about the inspection business? Doesn't need to know about the inspection business, because he came in from the other side of it, from a new generation, where he can learn like things that we didn't think about because we're getting in our way. So for our leaders, the biggest thing for me was to get out of their way. Make sure that we understand that we trained them well, we gave them all the information, all the knowledge. Now, granted, there's going to be times where they'll come back to you and say, hey, here's what I think. That's the biggest thing is, You know, I always say, don't come to me with a question. Come with me with a thought. Come with me with the entire thought. Here's my questions. Here's what I think we should do. And this is what we think. This is where I think we'll end up, right? So again, another part of Stephen Covey, begin with the end in mind. What's the focus? You know, let's figure out why do you want this change and how do we go about this change? And do we have the right people for this change? Because there were some times we didn't have the right people in the right seats and we had to make that decision. But in regards to where they're at now, they're, you know, you grow them, you nourish them, and you challenge them, and you set them on their way. And all you can do is encourage, you know, because I think we're very big on the encouraging side. And that's where I think it makes the difference right now is teach them and then let them go and get out of their way. My short end of the story.
All right.
If I may add just one last thing there, John, that I think was pretty impactful is transparency, right? So with our leadership team, we made a very clear decision probably 2 to 3 years ago to be very transparent with them as to where the company is financially, what our goals are this year and what numbers we need to hit, where are our failings right now in the company that we need to focus on. And so that level of transparency demystifies the behind the scenes a bit for the leadership team and gives them more direct information that they can take action on to help drive towards those goals. And it's transparency in both the good times and the bad times. Like I said, last year was, it was turning out to be a pretty rough year with the way the market was going. And we were very transparent with our leadership team. This is our cash runway. This is how much time we have to start figuring out how we're going to turn things around before these conversations are going to be different, right? And not putting all the responsibility on them, but empowering them to understand where the company was at and encouraging them, as Eddie said, to come up with ideas because they're the ones on the front lines now that are doing the frontline business day in and day out. And so they're our best source of coming up with new ideas of how we're going to do things differently and turn things around. So I think it's everything Bob and Eddie said, in addition to the transparency of information that gives them the ability to act independently or act with more of their own ideas that they can bring to us versus the other way around.
Wonderful. And thank you for clarifying
and,
that.
And I think that I think that surprises them too, John.
These are non-family members, right?
Non-family members, and okay. It's almost top to bottom with the company. And the thing of it is one of the things that I hear that I've never heard in any other position I've had or that is the owners of this company are so open and they care about us. And, you know, I've been in this ecosystem for 19 years, so it's hard for me to get out and see what others are experiencing. But to hear that from top down in our company, you know, we've got a good thing going on, and as long as we let them feel the same way and they're a part of it, we've got a really solid team.
Yes, yes. Well, that transparency engenders trust, and that's you're really extending that family bubble in that sense to those all your leadership team, because within the family you kind of all know each other's stuff, and you and so yeah, you can protect your really personal family stuff, but by not protecting the knowledge about the business, about what's going on in the business, you extend that family. That's, I love it.
Well, and ideas come from very different places too.
Oh my gosh, yes. Listening to your people.
Exactly. This is a master's class on how to start a business and run it. Congratulations to all four of you.
Yes.
For having the moxie, so to speak, of being able to pull this off. This is amazing.
Well, and
well, thank you so much.
Earplugs.
The theme, you know, the consistent theme all through all four of you has been about getting out of your own way, getting out of other people's way, and it's all low ego, right? Nobody's trying to defend their territory or their identity. And that's so huge.
Yeah.
And to that point, I think about it. I thought about it way back when to now. You know, you got to look at Mark when it was myself, Bob, and Austin, and Mark was over there on the East Coast managing his side of the company and the company himself. So Mark has come from running the entire company, and then now from a single owner to now, oh my God, I got to share my thoughts with Bob, Austin, and Betty now. And then to see that that transition went through pretty seamlessly is definitely a testimony to his openness in regards to the merger itself. Because he could have just said, no, I'm not going to listen to you guys. I'm going to do it myself. I've done it my way for how many years? But he knows that he wanted to grow as well. Because again, we all have our limits. And that was one of the reasons why we decided to merge. And one of the reasons why, you know, Austin had approached Mark in that a few years ago.
You guys are freaking amazing.
I'm so happy we did.
Yeah.
I'm going to thank Ryan again for introducing us.
Yeah.
Inviting us to that event, because that's where Eddie and I met and started this conversation. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us. And
giving us this hour of your time. We appreciate that.
Look forward to letting you know when this is published and then help promote it and bring more attention to your business.
Well, we're very excited about it. One of the reasons why I wanted to get together, John and Connie, when you first approached me in this regards, is, you know, share the story, because if we don't share it, you know, people won't hear about it. And,
right.
And when people don't hear about it, then they don't get to learn. My biggest thing is, you touch people's lives on a daily basis. What imprint do you want to leave when you touch them? How do you make them feel when they leave? Do you make them feel good about their approach to you? Do you want to make them feel like the guy who blew their horn at you at a red stoplight? I want to be the positive side of it. And, you know, my biggest thing is, you know, be the change you want to see. That's been my biggest motto. Be the change you want to see, because in order to do it well, you have to do it every day. You have to live it.
Lead by example. I love it. All right. Well, I'm going to call an end to our recording.